News, the All Arizona Daily Download, the top five local stories of the day. Number five.
Tucson sector may get a wall.
Yesterday, we had the governor of Arizona, Doug Ducey, in for his monthly exclusive interview, and we asked him, you know, now that the president has allotted money, he declares a national emergency, he signed something to stop the government from being shut down, will Arizona get some of that 250 miles of wall?
Arizona's got about 279 miles of border. About two-thirds of that 279 miles has a physical barrier right now. The way I understand it, it's going to be left to Homeland Security and the border agents to make the decisions where the initial parts of the wall will be built. And I think the first areas are going to be in places in Texas. When it happens in Arizona, it would be in the Tucson sector.
And that's what we've heard, that most of this wall is going to get built in Texas. But I mean, right. You know, if you're Arizona and you're like, hey, I don't have to pay for this wall, let's put it up somewhere. Let's put up some barriers. I mean, you know, does it make sense to put it up somewhere in the Tucson sector? I can't tell you yes or no, but you know, there's no wall in that part. So does it make any sense to put one up?
Does it make any sense for Doug Ducey to call the president and say, hey, now that you have this money, you could start with the Tucson sector, even though you said Texas? I don't think Doug Ducey is going to lobby that hard. But
really,
if it comes to Arizona, I think he'll say, sure, fine, go ahead, build it.
I don't have to pay for it. Go ahead and do it.
Mac and Gatos, the number four local story on the All Arizona Daily Download.
Strong support to ban texting and driving.
Yeah, a new poll shows an overwhelming majority of people support an Arizona bill that would prohibit texting while driving statewide.
It's just a matter of time where people are going to realize that, you know, they can kill people like that very easily.
It's not right, and especially with that cop that just recently passed, that really hit home with me, especially. I think we've all been guilty of doing it, but I have kids, and that's a reality now. Just put it down.
So just a couple of people from the Valley saying, yeah, we need to do something.
Oh, boy.
86% of likely voters say, let's make a law that says it's illegal for drivers to text and drive or at least have a handheld phone.
You know, I just...
What's the cringe over there?
People are being suckered into this, and I just don't like... Look, somebody got into an accident because of a frosted over windshield. That's distracted
that
driving,
today
too.
Today because of the cold.
Correct. So why don't we make a distracted,
that's not distracted driving?
You can't see.
Yeah, but that's not distracted driving. That's the weather.
You cannot see. Right. That's the weather.
That's not something you're holding in your hand in a car.
Right. There's more to this than just texting and driving. That's my point. That has been my point for, you know, since day one. Don't limit it to just texting and driving. Limit it to distracted driving.
Which is what else?
How many? Eating.
Eating.
You know, tuning the radio. Looking at back of the, hey, stop it back there.
Huh.
You know, anything that takes your eyes off the road.
Number three.
Arizona's official state drink.
Ooh, Arizona iced tea.
Do we have one?
I don't know.
Is it a liquor? Is it a beer? Or is it a beverage?
Hey, I've got an idea to make lemonade a state drink of Arizona.
What?
Lemonade? Wouldn't water be Arizona's official state drink?
Because Doug Ducey, if it was up to him, it would be.
Well, this gentleman you just heard, Garrett Glover.
Uh-huh.
He is a senior at Gilbert Classical Academy, and he's got the idea to make lemonade the official state drink. See, you would be halfway with him, wouldn't you? Because I know, Mac, what your favorite drink is.
Arnold Palmer. Yeah.
Arnold Palmer.
I love lemonade.
Lemonade and...
iced tea.
Iced tea.
And Arizona has a lot of citrus production.
Why do we need this? I don't know why we...
I like his idea.
Why?
Because we do produce a lot of citrus, but you could make it orange juice. You could make it grapefruit juice.
Becky Lynn, you're with me. I say the Arizona state drink is Jaeger. You with me?
Jaeger.
Who's with me?
I was thinking it would be like a margarita or something.
Here's some more.
Arizona has a lot of citrus production, mainly lemons. We're the second largest lemon producer after California. And we also grow a lot of oranges here, too. But Florida...
Okay.
Oh, Florida already has
Florida's
that.
Already
right.
The orange.
I don't need
That's
an official right. state drink. And if it's not Jägermeister, I don't want to know it.
Why would you want Jägermeister?
I know, why?
I hate
that
it.
Is
so awful.
Oh,
it's like drinking oil.
Yeah, it's like drinking turpentine.
It's
yeah.
like drinking turpentine, like I say.
Oil.
Mac and Gatos, the number two local story on the All Arizona Daily Download.
Biden versus Trump.
in Arizona, who would win?
This is the United States of America, for God's sake.
I know. A little bit more from the former vice president.
It's time to lift our heads up, man.
Come on, man.
Not walk around staring at the ground.
I don't know what he's talking about.
I don't know what he's talking about either.
I
look, you may love the president, you may hate the president, but when Joe Biden goes on these, you know, old uncle rants, I'm just like, stop, stop teasing, don't do it.
If Joe Biden decides to run for president, how will he do against Donald Trump in Arizona? It's pretty much split. It's pretty much 46-46%. 7% say they don't know. Which is fair. I mean, we're, you know, a couple years away anyway.
Right.
I think that, you know, Biden would clearly be the biggest name to get into the presidential race. I don't know if Bernie, you know, he got in it the other day. I don't know if he's got any gas
right.
left in the tank.
Well, Biden would appeal to independents and Democrats, where Trump, I don't know if he's going to appeal to many independents.
Okay. Independents were nearly close to a split. 44% favor Biden in Arizona if you're an independent, and 41% for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean,
I'm not putting my head down, Joe. You know what I mean? I'm not putting my head down staring at the ground. I'm moving on.
I walk around staring at the ground.
I'm not. I'm thinking about what should the official drink for Arizona be. That's what I'm thinking.
Oh, jeez.
Number one.
Think on this, then. A second Arizona teacher strike?
Well, that's what Arizona Education Association President Joe Thomas says. And he's a boob. He doesn't know anything. But here's what he said.
I think a walkout is a possibility.
You don't know. You know why, Joe? You don't talk to teachers. You don't speak for teachers. You think you do, but you really are as clueless as any man in Arizona. For this guy to put something like that out, it doesn't help. Get people behind teachers, because you know what? I don't think anybody wants to see a second teacher walkout. I think the majority of Arizona was for the first one.
Yeah.
But Joe Thomas is a fool. I'm sorry.
So why would they walk the second time if they got a pay raise?
I don't think that. Well, again, that's not all that they want.
Correct. But why would they walk a second time?
I don't think that they would. And if you ask any teacher, if you say, hey, are you in line with Arizona Education Association President Joe Thomas? Almost every teacher I ask says, absolutely not. Mm. The guy is a moron.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it a single file line when he says everybody's going to get in line or no?
He's the guy that tried to get in front of the... He's the guy that
tried to get
in front of the parade.
Yeah, he got in front of the walkout. Yeah.
Right, and he got down to the walkout at Chase Field and made it like he was running it. And
right.
he has nothing to do with any of this. Joe Thomas should shut his big mouth.
Thomas says that they see a lot of bills going through the legislature this session, but the focus would be on making sure education got funding, not just pay this time around. The All-Arizona Daily Download brought to you by Inspire Sleep. If CPAP isn't working for you, learn about Inspire, a revolutionary treatment for sleep apnea. Visit inspiresleep.com today.
You know, we talked about Governor Doug Ducey in studio with us yesterday. He told us something that we had never heard about Hacienda Healthcare.
Yeah.
Should the families who have loved ones there get to decide if the doors of the facility stay open or closed? That's in a second.
Drive home informed and entertained. Mac and Gatos, KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
This is where the newsmakers come to talk, so if you miss any of the show, we've got you covered with the Mac and Gatos podcast. Make sure you subscribe right now for your iPhone or Android, and you'll never miss any of the show. It's brought to you by Arizona Cold Air.
Arizona Senator Kyrsten Sinema is going to stop by the show in about 15 minutes. For her monthly exclusive interview, and we're gonna ask her why she's against Trump's declaration the emergency on the border. I think she feels that Congress did its job, gave the president some money, and it should stop there. So we'll ask Sinema about that coming up in 15 minutes. Now, yesterday, Arizona Governor Doug Ducey was in studio for his monthly exclusive interview with Mac and Gatos, and he told us something about Hacienda Healthcare. Obviously, a woman, in an incapacitated state, raped, gave birth. Nobody knew about it. They've already arrested this pig who assaulted her. Should the facility stay open? And the governor told us something that we hadn't heard. And we're going to let you listen to that right here. We pick up the interview with the governor talking about Hacienda. Take a listen. Hacienda Healthcare. Why is the state insisting on keeping it open? When we look at it, man, from top to bottom, there were major problems. Do you want it shut down? Do you want the state to keep it open?
There are major problems at Hacienda Healthcare. The reason we want to keep it open is because our first concern is the care of the people inside Hacienda Healthcare. Some of them are incredibly developmentally disabled, and they've been there since they were 3 years old. Mm-hmm. They're now 27 years old. This is their home. So what we want to make certain is that we've got the proper oversight from the state, that they bring in a new management group, that the board is replaced. But our care first and foremost is for the people that are inside Hacienda, and we've also been communicating with their families. They do not want to move their loved ones.
Really?
They want to have good care inside Hacienda.
Still after what happened?
We're talking about people that are oftentimes, Gatos, in such a fragile situation, and like I said, this has been their home. They've lived there for decades, that they would rather just see the proper care and oversight, and that's something that the state is going to continue to be as aggressive as possible on.
I just wonder if it is broken and cannot be fixed from the top down, and so many stories about cover-ups and don't tell us if a patient is ill, and if you do that, we'll pay you a bonus. The CEO, you know, I'd love to get a hold of the CEO and put him on the air because, you know, he's as cowardly as anybody I've ever seen running away from the situation. Just to me, it seems broken. And I totally get what you're saying. It is their home, but, you know, could there be a better home for them? Move them into somewhere that is not corrupt from top to bottom.
It is broken, and that's why I want to fire the senior management and remove the board. I think we've got good, hardworking employees in there that want to do the right thing, but this has just been terrible leadership, terrible management, and terrible oversight. And so that's my first preference. Of course, we have other options, but we've been working directly with the families to try to accommodate them and what their needs are with the care first for the patients.
All right, that was Governor Ducey with us yesterday about Hacienda Healthcare. Should the families have a say? I mean, I think the answer is yes.
Yeah, but you just can't kick the family members out on the street.
But should they have a say? I mean, are they too close to it? You know, they have their loved one in the facility. It's hard to move them out.
Right. There's not a lot of facilities like this. I mean, that's the other problem, too. And let's wait until the investigation. Remember, that investigation is still going on. Let's find out the whole scope of what's happened. So I like Ducey's approach. Let's find out. I want the top people gone, but there are good people that work there.
I know there are good people that work there, but I'd shut the place down yesterday.
Right, and then what do you do with those people?
You got to find a place, and there are places out there. It's just not easy. The other thing we talked to the governor about yesterday, you know these legislators in the legislature?
Yeah, your elected political heroes? Yeah.
You know the legislative immunity? Remember Paul Mosley went 97 and a 55? Mm-hmm. He's like, hey, look. Look, I get it. It seems that this bill to get rid of the legislative immunity is dead.
It didn't go anywhere. Well, it didn't get out of committee.
Here's what the governor had to say about that. We'll pick it up with you here, Mac.
It looks like nothing is going to happen with this bill. I just don't understand why. Well, I take that back. I do understand why. Are you disappointed it's not going to be repealed? And are you going to speak to somebody down at the legislature going, come on, this is an antiquated law. It doesn't need to be on the books. And people are outraged by it.
I don't think anybody in Arizona is above the law, especially the people that make the laws, myself included. It's early in the legislative session. What I wanted to do was say, I think we already have too many laws and too many regulations on the books. And if we can put sunsets or repeal things that are unnecessary, archaic, or outdated, let's get rid of them. And I don't think that we need legislative immunity.
Have you spoke to Representative Bowers?
I speak to the Speaker, of course, and the President of the Senate and all the members. I want to be accessible as governor. And really, every legislative session, every budget is a negotiation.
Right.
I get to set a table and show an agenda in my state of the state. And these are some things that I think are important and things I think also that the citizens would see as important.
But see, the House Speaker told the Arizona Republic that he doesn't like the governor coming here in our House and telling lawmakers that they need new rules or they need to repeal rules. What is this guy? What are we missing that this guy is saying? We don't need to change this. It's outrageous. We already know that. We know that people are abusing it.
Well, the first law that I passed, Mac, was the American Civics Act. And if you look at that act, it'll tell you that the legislature is a separate and co-equal branch. That's the respect I show those guys. And I've been able to work with them. But, you know, some of them, if you look at the videotape of that, when I announced let's get rid of legislative immunity, some were enthusiastic about it and some were not.
Some were not.
So we'll see. But we're going to do our best on this.
I hope you go and knock some heads down there.
See, you need to crack skulls.
Yeah,
you have somebody that can crack skulls.
That's what I'm talking about. Okay. That was a piece of yesterday's interview with Governor Doug Ducey, our monthly exclusive. I don't know if he's going to go down there and crack skulls, but, you know, these guys and gals at the legislature, they want the get-out-of-free-jail card because, you know, if they go out and booze it up, they want to be able to not go to jail for that.
Right.
They want some kind of immunity, and they want to be treated differently. And
but then don't bring it up in a bill and then make it go nowhere in not even at a committee. You know, just say we're going to keep it. Don't play with us as a voter bloc. Don't say, well, we need to get rid of this. And then you don't do anything about
this
it.
This needs to be on the ballot in 2020. And we
so
need
people
to vote
can
on
vote.
It. Absolutely. Absolutely. They don't get a get out of jail free card. They don't deserve it. They haven't earned it. They're no better than anybody else. Mm-hmm. And they like to flaunt it.
Yeah.
And they've proven that. All right. Coming up next, Senator Kyrsten Sinema. She says President Trump's emergency declaration will have a harmful effect on Arizona. We're going to ask her how when she joins us for her monthly exclusive interview. Next.
Drive home informed and entertained with Mac and Gatos, KTAR News, 92.3 FM. Drive home informed and entertained with Mac and Gatos on KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
About once a month, we love to talk to the Arizona Senator, Kyrsten Sinema. Kyrsten Sinema joins us now for her monthly exclusive interview. How are you doing today? I think from what we understand, you're actually in town. You've got some stuff going on. How are you?
I am doing wonderfully, and I'm so happy to be home. But I have to say, guys, what's with this cold weather?
I know.
Yeah, we don't know it either. We don't know what's going on either.
Mac is wearing long johns today. I'm very uncomfortable, Senator.
Yeah, you didn't have to share that with me.
Right.
It is cold. It's going to be worse over the next couple of days. When do you head back to D.C.?
I go back to D.C. Sunday evening.
Oh,
and
okay.
Luckily, I'm not there today because they've got 7 inches of snow in D.C. today.
Well, it could be a lot worse, definitely, in Washington, D.C., but over the next couple of days is going to be bad. So, Senator, let's talk about this President Trump and national emergency on the border. So you guys in Congress gave him like $1.3 billion, something like that, said, hey, go ahead and do your wall, maybe 50 miles. And he said, yeah, that's just not enough. I'll take your money. But now I'm going to kind of do an end around. Senator, do you think Trump overstepped his boundaries declaring a national emergency?
Well, first, let me be clear. I believe it is Congress's duty to address issues of border security, including appropriating dollars for both physical barriers, such as walls when appropriate, but also to do things like increase staffing at Customs and Border Patrol for our ports of entry. You guys know this. Arizonans know this. Most of the illicit drugs that come into our country actually come through our ports of entry.
Yes.
So we appropriated more dollars for those ports of entry, for Customs and Border Patrol. We want to spend money on technology, you know, drones and cameras and towers to really help support our Customs and Border Patrol agents and our Border Patrol agents in interdicting the bad guys. We did include some funding for physical barriers. Most Arizonans would agree that walls are appropriate in some places and do make a difference, but they're not the only answer. So while Congress did its job by appropriating monies for this effort, I think most of us would agree that we haven't completed the work. There's still more for us to do. And my opinion is that it is Congress's job to continue that work. We are responsible for appropriating the dollars and directing them to the types of border security measures that we believe, based on our consultation with experts, is appropriate to create full border security.
So you think he did overstep, that he should have taken the money from you guys and went and did his thing and not look for another $8 or $9 billion?
Well, I think it's appropriate if the president wants to ask Congress to continue to appropriate additional dollars, and it's our job to consider his requests. but it is Congress's job to make these decisions about appropriating dollars. And I got to tell you guys, I've seen some news reports, I know just like you have, that taking dollars from some of these other areas could be a little bit dangerous for us here in Arizona. Luke Air Force Base could be impacted, and I'm concerned about that. We've got to make sure that our men and women in uniform are always ready to defend our country, whether it's in preparation and training or in getting ready for deployment.
Senator Kyrsten Sinema joins us for a monthly exclusive interview. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I'm concerned as well about, okay, where is the money being taken from and how does that affect Arizona? You mentioned Luke Air Force Base. Can you be specific? What would happen or what would be less than optimal if it was taken from Luke Air Force Base? Can you be specific how that would affect us?
Absolutely, guys. Well, you know, this was actually reported yesterday morning in the Arizona Central website that there are two projects on Luke Air Force Base that could be at risk under this emergency. And these are projects that are really crucial for our F-35 program. As you guys know, we are the home for the F-35, and we're working to expand it to help create more jobs and, of course, increase national security. So the F-35 program is still growing. And right now at Luke Air Force Base, they don't have enough space to train all the pilots that we have ready to prepare to fly the F-35s. And we don't have enough space to adequately maintain the F-35s that we have and the F-35s that are continuing to come as they're produced throughout the country. So right now, Luke Air Force Base is expecting about $40 million just this year. And you know, guys, we worked really hard as a bipartisan delegation in the House last year to make sure that we got this $40 million appropriated for Luke Air Force Base. And of course, now that $40 million is at risk. And that's really concerning because this construction has to be completed by March of 2021. And that means that they've got to get those dollars in the door now, and they've got to start growing this in order for us to be ready for additional squadron of F-35 pilots. But that pot of money is now at risk because of this national emergency. So we're concerned about that.
Are you also concerned about interdiction programs on the border at the ports of entry may be affected? That's what I'm most concerned
about. That he's taking money from there?
That he's going to take money from the interdiction part, and that we may not have as effective as we could at ports of entry and other places to make sure that the drugs don't come across.
What you're saying is really, really important, because those of us who live in border states and border communities know that making sure that you have situational and operational control of the border isn't just about building barriers. Barriers are a part of it, but you've got to have staffing and technology so that you can do the interdiction efforts. That recent fentanyl bust that happened in Nogales, that was due to the hard work of our CPB agents and the technology they have. If you start removing funds from those pots of money, then you're actually reducing your ability to stop the greatest and most dangerous flow of illicit goods, which is drug trafficking through our ports of entry. And you guys know this, that the trafficking of people continues to happen largely in Arizona through more dangerous terrain. But it's the same really dangerous gangs like Sinaloa and others who are trafficking both drugs and people into the country, often taking advantage of these individuals and forcing them to act as drug mules. So we cannot reduce the funding. We absolutely cannot reduce the funding for these interdiction efforts that involve both person power and technology.
Senator Kyrsten Sinema is with us. So you got your first Senate bill, the Legion Act, and it aims to give all veterans access to the American Legion. Can you tell everybody why that's important? What does the American Legion do? That kind of thing.
Absolutely. Well, I'm really proud of this legislation. We introduced it last week, and it basically allows veterans who didn't serve in direct battle during direct wars to have an opportunity to join the American Legion. The American Legion is one of the largest veteran service organizations in the country, and they provide assistance to veterans throughout the year. I'll give you an example.
Okay.
During the recent government shutdown, when the Coast Guard wasn't being paid, the American Legion helped fund the daily lives of Coast Guard members who were serving without pay during that time.
Wow.
Now, that's incredible, right?
Yep.
That's just they were doing the job that the federal government failed to do, which was, of course, as we have discussed previously, shameful and immoral. But belonging to the American Legion opens folks up to benefits such as this. And so our legislation, which is fully supported by the American Legion, in fact, I just met with them yesterday in Phoenix, they are supportive of this legislation that provides these critical resources to veterans and opens up the process for more veterans to belong.
And you're going to get that on the floor as soon as possible. Is that right?
I feel very confident about this. You know, I serve on the Veterans Affairs Committee. Mm-hmm. The chairman of our committee, Johnny Isaacson of Georgia, is just a delight to work with. And I feel confident that we'll be able to move this legislation forward. But I do have to tell you guys, you know, the government's only been operating for, what, 2 weeks or so since I've been in the Senate because it was shut down for a while. But just last week, I passed my first bill through committee. So we're already moving bills quickly. I serve on the Homeland Security Committee, and last week we passed a bill through committee that makes it easier for regular, average, everyday Americans to learn about government regulations in plain English instead of that fancy legalese that's so hard to understand.
Last one for you, Senator. What'd you think of that portrayal of you on Saturday Night Live?
Well, I got to tell you guys, I was wearing a pink dress. And I know that comes as no surprise, because you know it's my favorite color.
Yes.
That was what I found most disappointing. But, you know.
Didn't they pronounce your name wrong?
Right. Yeah, they got your name wrong.
Yeah, that was also a big mistake. But, right. You know, she got the glasses right.
Okay. Well, so they might. Who knows? They might do it again. What did they say? You were the kooky senator from Arizona. Was that? That wasn't very fair. Was that fair?
No.
No, I think they meant to say coolest. I think
right. That's much better.
All right. Senator Kirsten Sinema, her monthly exclusive interview. Senator, thanks a lot. Good luck on the Legion Act.
Thank you guys so much, and I'll talk to you again soon.
Talk to you next month. Senator Kirsten Sinema. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did get her name wrong.
Yeah.
I think they pronounced it wrong on purpose.
But why? Why would you do that?
I mean, they enjoy taking a shot at mostly Republicans, but at times Democrats, too.
Okay, yeah. All right.
All right. Thanks again to Senator Kirsten Sinema. When we come back, listen to this. We've got $22 trillion in debt in the U.S.
Yeah.
So here's a thought. Here's an idea. Why don't we start selling off a state to pay for the national debt?
Love it. I've got a couple in mind. We could sell off and make a profit.
All right, that's next.
Drive home informed and entertained with Mac and Gatos, KTAR News, 92.3 FM. Drive home informed and entertained. Mac and Gatos, KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
All right, coming up, it's Wednesday. That means Brewer time. Jan Brewer, former governor of Arizona, Mac and Gatos political insider, joins us at 3:05. If you missed the interview, shame on you, but we've got you covered with the podcast. Subscribe today.
I missed it.
Brought to you by Arizona Cold Air. You were there. No, you're not going to miss it. You're going to be here 3:05. Come on. We've got $22 trillion in national debt. How do we get rid of it? Well, we can't open up a lemonade stand, okay? We can't, you know, sell off some asset. Wait a minute. There is on change.org, there's a petition to sell the state of Montana to Canada.
What?
In hopes of reducing the United States debt. Nearly 10,000 people have signed a petition that would sell the actual state of Montana to Canada for $1 trillion.
I'll give him Tucson for $1 million.
That's a city, not a state.
My bad.
An online petition to sell the state of Montana to Canada has gone viral.
Of course.
The change.org petition is calling for the U.S. to receive $1 trillion in return for the state.
Hold on. So then that means we're $21 trillion still in debt.
Yeah.
Doesn't make much of a dent, does it?
No.
Well, then let's not do it.
Well, it's
And of course, it's not going to happen.
Right, of course, because you'd lose that really perfect line that separates Canada from the United States. Who wants a weird, like, you know, shaped state like, oh, I don't know, Massachusetts? They've got weird lines, or like Virginia or Maryland, right? You want a nice, clean line? Well, that's the separation between Canada and the United States.
To help pay down the national debt. The petition's description says, quote, "We have too much debt and Montana is useless. Just tell them it is beavers or something."
Well, that's not true. Montana is not useless.
What's the beaver thing?
that they should buy it because you can trap beavers and use the fur.
There are beavers in Montana?
No, well, there are, but it's not the main source of.
I don't get it.
Is useless. Just tell them it has beavers or something.
It has beavers or something. Just tell them that there's something.
I don't understand.
It's irony.
More than 8,000 people have signed the petition.
Oh, so 8,000 people say let's.
One person in Montana said, "I'm a Montanan. I want to join Canada without the moving costs. Let's do this. Please adopt us."
Isn't there a better state that we could auction off?
Oh yeah.
You have a thought?
Yeah.
What is it?
How about North Dakota?
North Dakota.
North Dakota.
A lot of oil in North Dakota. I wouldn't do
North
Dakota.
Not as much as Wyoming or Montana.
You don't know that.
But you could also go down. How about if they take North Dakota, South Dakota, and Nebraska?
North Dakota, South Dakota, and Nebraska.
Yeah. Or Minnesota and then Iowa. Love to give them Arkansas.
Can we give them Vermont?
You know what? That's
Let's
a great
that.
Point.
They're socialists over there.
Absolutely. They've already got the socialist thing going on. Why don't give them Vermont?
Then Bernie couldn't run for president. And that would be a disaster.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be a disaster, right. Him running and winning would be a disaster, too.
He is a socialist.
I know.
Okay, coming up next, a bill to kill legislative immunity here in Arizona is dead.
Yeah.
We know Governor Ducey's not happy about it, but what about former Arizona Governor Jan Brewer? We'll ask her next.